Hello, everybody. Welcome to this session. It's good to have you guys here. In fact, I believe that you are the guys, you and gals, a few gals actually, you are the guys and gals who recognize that it's important to be in this room for this session. And of course, I want to thank you for it. And honestly, I don't even know what that says. This is about filling out evals, right? Yeah, wrong language for me. But you guys, you look awesome. You do. Because again, you understand that the cloud is the place to be in. This is why you're in this session room at this time slot, and you know, that actually puts you ahead of the curve. So, pat yourselves on the back. Has your boss ever wanted the latest demo environment? He comes into your office and nags you, you're coding away, and he comes in and he says, I want a demo environment right now. And you're like, now? And he's like, of course now. If I wanted it tomorrow, I'd, you know, swing by tomorrow, right? And the testers? Have they ever, you know, nagged you about, oh, we need to get the latest bits on the build on the test server because, you know, if it's not on the test server, that story won't be part of the sprint goal. They sound like that, right? At least in our heads. I'm not part of the sprint goal. Right? So, has any of you ever deployed the development connection string to live production? That usually is fun. I've done that. God, I've done that. And it's really, really painful. And so, the thing is that back in the days in Azure, it took a while to do a deployment. You could just kick back and relax, get some coffee, and it'd still be running when you got back. And if it failed, if you deployed something incorrect, that service wouldn't start for you in Azure, and you know, you didn't know why exactly, because you didn't actually get any error messages. You just had to, you know, try it again and see what happens, and another 20 minutes goes by. And if you have just deployed the development connection string to live production, 20 minutes is a very, very long time, I'll tell you. It really is. So, this is why today, with Azure, you can basically get near instant deploy times, and all of those errors that, you know, used to not tell you anything, now you can actually get some messages about what went wrong and how did it, you know, go wrong and why and so forth. And, you know, failures, obviously, they can still happen. You can still try to deploy the development connection string to live production, but it doesn't really matter because you can roll back in an instant to a previous state in your deployment history and just continue on. And that's really great. So the stuff that we're going to be talking about in this room today is going to take that boss and those testers and just make them disappear from your office and leave you, right, in the uninterrupted flow of nice software development. Right? That's what we want. We want this. So how do we get this? I gotta ask you guys, while we're looking at this lovely picture, how many of you have MSDN subscriptions? Hand in the air. This is the entire room, except for maybe two. So all of you have. How many of you have activated your Azure benefits on your MSDN subscription? That's about half of the people actually have MSDN subscriptions. Yeah, message for you guys. Get going. My name is Magnus Mortensen, and I'm a Windows Azure, or actually Microsoft Azure these days, right? It's going to take me a while to remember to say that correct. I'm a Microsoft Azure MVP. And it's my pleasure to be here with you guys today. Let's have some fun. The stuff that I like to do in my spare time is stuff like the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp. A couple of people in the room were probably at one of the boot camps. Anybody? Nobody? Wow. My last session yesterday, there were like 5-6 people, because in the Netherlands, you guys had 5 locations for the Global Windows Azure Bootcamp. That went, it's going to happen again, it's going to be in the spring next year because it just went down. And it started, this was on March 29th, and it started over in Auckland, in the Auckland time zone. And the event was a full-day Azure workshop that happened in Auckland. And there was another one in Sydney, and one in Melbourne, and one in Japan, in Tokyo, where I was actually. I was in Tokyo for the event. And it just rolled across all the time zones, all the way over there to Honolulu was the last time zone to do it. We did it all in the same day, right? So everybody in their time zone. So the entire event took place at 139 locations. There were thousands of people involved in this huge event, and we did a mega large lab together where we deployed lots and lots of instances to Azure. We had thousands and thousands and thousands of instances running in our huge science lab. So it's great. Another thing I want to call out that you should keep an eye on is the third Cloudburst conference. This is going to be online. So it's a two-day online event from streamed live from Stockholm. You could go there for free and attend. You can't go there for free, but you can attend for free. You have to go there on your own. But it's a live event, and I urge you to check it out. I don't know that URL is actually working yet, but after this conference, it certainly will. We're going to make the plans, and we have some really good speakers lined up already. All right. Okay, let's get going. So how many of you guys use, about half of you had Azure activated. Are you deploying stuff to Azure? How many are, do you have stuff in production in Azure? A few, not very many. But you're testing it out, that's great. So maybe some of you know that there were new tools just now. We're going to take a brand new Visual Studio. And we're going to do the file new thingy because there is some value in doing that and showing you guys what's in the box these days, how easy it is and how quick it is to just set things up. Let's do a new cloud project. No, let's do a new website. That's what we're going to do. I have a folder here called throwaway samples. I've checked add to source control. And what I want to draw your attention to is this. So this is in the new Azure tooling, that part of the wizard down there where it says Windows Azure. So if you don't actually uncheck that, default is to create Azure assets while you're at it. And that's pretty awesome and pretty new. I'm going to zoom out to do the OK thingy there. So I'm telling it, create me some Azure stuff while you're at it. Let's call that Tech Days Netherlands File New Demo. See if that's available. That's available in Azure, and we're actually going to put it on a different account. I have several, or many even. Let's put that in North Europe. No, not North Europe. We're West Europe, right? West Europe, that's just next door, right? And if I could, I could actually do a database here as well. So let's do a username for that. And set a password for it, and hit OK. There are some errors on the page. There are no errors on the page. Yeah, must be. But it didn't say. Oh, yeah, it actually did say that the password was off. I'm used to seeing some red exclamation point or something. Oh, there we go. So now we are creating a file new ASP.NET solution. And while we're doing that, we're also creating assets in Azure for this. Okay? Stuff is happening in the background. And it's going to show up over here when we get there. And there's the Global Windows Azure website actually running in my account. Right. So now it's asking me, because I checked source control, so it's asking me where do you want to have this source controlled and versioned, and it just so happens that I have do you guys have this? Visual Studio Online? Do you have your own name, .visualstudio.com? Get it. Get it while it's hot. Get your company name too, you know, and your dog's name, right? Just get it. I had a question over there? No? No question? Oh, you haven't. Yeah, cool. You have to have that. It's just a mandatory thing because it's free to sign up. just get the URL while you can. Anyway, so I actually have created a team project. It's empty. I created it 25 minutes ago. It's completely empty. It's called Tech Days Netherlands File New Demo. Okay, empty. That's the one I'm going to use for my file new demo. And let me see that one. And let's do Tech Days Netherlands file new demo, connect. I'm now connecting my source control to my code, to my file new code. Let's see, web application 3, that's a great name for it. I'm going to keep that for a long time. All right, so you have source control here. And you can see with the nice little plus signs that we're connected to source control. And up in Azure, there's a site. It's right there. And if I go and drill into it, you can see also that it has linked resources. It has a database. So the database, this is actually an error in the portal. Sometimes it just doesn't refresh them. It doesn't know that I have them. So because I created it from Visual Studio, the portal didn't update the UI. Refresh always fixes it. So now, there's a database. TechDays file new demo underscore DB. And a database server was created for me from Visual Studio. And I could now go and browse to this guy. Obviously, there's nothing there. I haven't published anything yet. So let's do that from Visual Studio. Publish. And it's all set up already for me from the wizard. So all I really need to do is go next, publish. And we're now publishing from Visual Studio to Azure to our website. It's the file new demo thingy, so it's not very exciting. And it's actually usually doesn't refresh in my browser. So we have to nudge it a little bit, because my browser remembered, something's wrong with my file new demo. I don't know what that is. It doesn't really matter, because I have other demos that do work. It's funny how it doesn't work. When I hit F5, let's see if it works locally. File new should work, right? I don't know what happened there. Yeah, this works. Works locally. Let's see what could be wrong. I guess we shouldn't debug this now. We have some time, though. Let's see. Well, it looks okay. I don't know why. Let's just ignore it. the fact that I could publish from Visual Studio is obvious to everybody. It's been like that for some time. There's one more thing that we're going to do over in the portal for this thing. We're going to connect it to our Team Foundation or Visual Studio Online. Usually say Team Foundation Service. That's the previous name. I want to set up deployment from source control, right, for my website. And, of course, Visual Studio Online is in there. I can choose that and authorize. And authorize to my repository. Choose one to deploy. And it was the Tech Days file new demo, I believe. So, linking a team project. This page will refresh soon. There you go. So now my website in Azure is linked up with my Visual Studio Online repository for the source code. And as you can see, it says, will deploy to your project to Windows Azure, they have to update that, on your next check-in. On your next check-in. So let's do the next check-in. Actually, the first check-in, but who's counting? Test, check-in. Checking in 215 items. Okay. Checking in. And done. So what just happened? What did we do? Well, we went and did a checking to our source control, and that kicked off a build, because I have a build definition in there. So you can see that we now have a build running, on the build server. It's going to run the build. It's going to run tests. I actually don't have any tests on this demo. It's going to run the tests. It's going to build my code and run my tests and deploy to Azure automatically. This definition there, the build definition, it was created when I linked up my Azure site to TFS, or VSO. Okay? So that was just created, the build definition. The default behavior is to build and test and deploy out of the box. If you want to, you can change it, because on your local box, where it wound up in throwaway samples, right? That one. Actually, I don't know where my source code is. You can change that if you look at the code. You can see that you have the build process templates with you, so you can actually change them if you want to. You can edit them just like you normally do inside of Visual Studio. Probably do. I don't know if you normally do that, but you could edit your build definition in there. The same way that it's always looked. And you can go and view the builds inside of Visual Studio, see that there's one queued up and running, and you can check it and see what happens, and you can see the logs, and everything is just the way that it usually is. So I'm going to pause for a minute, and obviously, and ask if you have any questions so far. Yes? How would I do this for a desktop application? What do you mean? Which part? Well, if you can deploy to a virtual machine. Yeah. So you can, and you can set that up. So inside of this, when I do file new project, there's also the option to actually use a virtual machine. But that's, again, for a website. But you can set it up to deploy to a virtual machine, and you can reuse a virtual machine as well. It's not going to be as out of the box, I suppose. But you can set up just about anything, which I have. And I have demos to prove it. But I don't have one for a virtual machine in a desktop application. That's a good one, though. I might add that to my deck. It's a great question. So I'm going to leave this demo now, because it's not that interesting, I think. It's interesting to this point to say that and to conclude that I set this up live on stage in about, what did it take me, 5 minutes, right? And anybody could do that. So Visual Studio Online is free to sign up and free for use for up to 5 users. And I do not mean to sound like a used car salesman. I'm trying to state the facts. So this is for free. The website that I created in Azure, the getting an account is free, and the website that I created is also running in free mode in Azure. Every account gets 10 free websites, so you can just put them out there while you're doing dev test. And in your MSDN subscription, you have, depending on which size it is, up to $150 per month of Azure usage, which means that the database that I also deployed is actually not for free, but you know, it's actually, I think there is one free up to 20 megabytes included also, but if I had more assets in there in Azure, I would still take down from the monthly allowance that I have. So the dev test environment with build servers and everything is just right there to just reach out your hand and grab it and use it. And honestly, if you don't, there's something wrong with you. Yes, question. They're for the builds? Right, so I'm kicking off builds on Visual Studio Online. How is that build, and is there a cost for it? Well, no cost. Up to 5 users, and the build server and everything, source control. Even the team project that I put up in there, my final new team project, has, if you want to use work items and everything in there, so you can choose the template that you want to have for your project, and there are several templates to choose from, like Scrum ones and other ones, Agile, and so forth. And all of that, all of it, is absolutely for free. And it's crazy. And again, I do sound like a salesman. I don't work for Microsoft. I work very close to Microsoft, but I'm not employed by Microsoft, and they're not paying me to say it. But it's right there. It's so obvious. It stares me in the face that everybody is not using that, right? Sure, you have your build servers and stuff already. Well, then that's great. Set up continuous deployment from whatever you have, Team Foundation server or whatever other build system you might have, to do continuous delivery and continuous testing and continuous everything for you, automation, so that you don't have to have the testers and the boss in your office, right? Go away. It's obvious, okay? Like it so far? Seeing nodding heads? Good, good, good. Okay, so I'm going to actually go back to this. And I want to show you, how many have seen the new Azure portal? Only a few. I'm going to quickly go over to the new Azure portal. So this is we refer to it as the new portal, because the current portal, the one that I've already shown you, is the new portal. So it's actually now the old new portal. And then this is the new portal. So for you guys who are not familiar with Azure, you're going to probably wind up here after some time. This is the new portal that Microsoft is building on. And as you can see, I think I deleted that website there. As you can see in here, move over to the... Oh, I'm on the Microsoft account. Good. Browse to my websites. You can see the website in there, the fine new website. And I can, from in here, I can also go and do a create new stuff. Let's create a new website, creating a website, and just continue. I can do the same things from in here. I can create a website, and I can link it to source control, and I can even create a new repository from in here if I wanted to. And I don't have to do it from Visual Studio. So there are options. But this is preview. It says right there in the corner that this is preview. And it really is. There are many features lacking in here or missing that they are, you know, coming to. They're going to add, eventually, before this goes GA. But this is the direction we're headed for the portal, and it's kind of important to show, I think. So this is the one we currently have. All right. Changes, right? We don't like changes. We're human. And I use this picture to remind me that humans are, you know, we have an inert resistance to change. We don't like it. And so when these wagons started to appear rolling down the street without a horse in front of them, you know, there were wagons that were automatically able to be mobile on their own, right? They were automobiles. It was really, really scary. And people were like, it's the wagon of death. So basically, to cushion the blow for people, they mounted a horse's head on the front. And some of the early designs of these things actually also had a whip holder. Because, you know, if you don't have a whip holder, where are you going to put the whip, right? And people don't like changes. And when I talk about changes in this scenario, I mean changes like this. Your dev test environment is live during the day, and you go home during the night, and you shut it off. You remove it from Azure, and you're not paying anything for anything at all. It's just gone. Right? Those types of changes. And you can sit there and happily code away, and be sure to, actually, I want to show that one as well. Yeah, I forgot about that. This is not so important. I think the numbers may even be off. I don't care about it, and I'm just going to continue. The important part is that the MSDN stuff that you're using is not even using the regular bill, the regular rates. It's much slower. It's priced much slower for dev tests. So you can dev test away all you like on these environments, and you know it's not going to cost you a penny, right? But the changes I'm talking about is continuous delivery. So picture this: code, code, code. Check in or push, depending on your source control preference. Get the build server gets the code, builds the code, runs the test. Everything is green, everything is nice, and then you deploy this thing into live production. automatically from the developers to production. Scary, right? A lot of companies go, whoa. We cannot do that. You know, there's a testing phase, and then there are deliverables. The test lead needs to sign off on the deployment and everything and this and that and so forth, right? That's important stuff. Okay. I see that. Because that's the way I've always done stuff, right? That's the way it's always been. It has to be like that. Mm-hmm. So how many startup companies today do you think, get some venture capital and then they just go like, oh, we got this precious venture capital now, and so let's go out on the town and buy some servers, right? And buy some components for servers and go into the office and put them together and shove them in a cupboard and boot them up and install the OS on them and get everything ready and up to speed. How many startups think like that? The answer is zero, right? No startup will ever think like that. Think about it. No startup will ever own a server. Ever. And if companies do today, if there are companies that own servers now, today, what does that mean to them? Right? What does that mean in agility and speed and time to market and other fancy-pansy terms? There's a thing called control. Controlled environments. Yes. Well, the thing about controlled environments is that I know companies that go to production multiple times a day, 10 times a day. They can do it, and they do it continuously. They always do it. And if they can, probably everybody could, but everybody certainly doesn't. We have all this process and sign-offs and deliverables and cover-my-ass stuff, right? Which takes time. And, time is precious. My precious. Okay, so three little words. I've said it already. Automate. You have to. Because everything that can be automated must be automated. That sounds really good. I wonder who said that. Oh, I did. All right. So luckily, there is support for this in Microsoft Azure, okay? Now, this section of the talk, I can skip by it real quick, or I can just give you the sort of the lay of the land in the three possible options for you to deploy your applications to Azure. How many wants to hear this? There are people who wants to hear this. Great. I'll be quick about it. And the other guys, I'm sorry. Hang on. So virtual machines. You can run virtual machines in Azure, of course. You can run your Windows machines. You can run your Linux boxes and so forth. The thing here is that you are in charge of those virtual machines. You have to maintain the images and apply the patches to them and clean out logs. And everything works the same as it always has. Which means that if you have virtual machines somewhere else today, it's completely possible to just forklift them up to Azure, and they should run there fine. That's infrastructure as a service, IaaS. Cloud services is another option. You can run your cloud services in Azure, and I showed you a website just now. A cloud service is a predecessor to the websites. When Microsoft started Windows Azure, that was what it was called, right? They came out with these cloud services, which is basically you get access to a virtual machine where you can run your code, your program, your what have you, your website. It doesn't have to be a website. You can run your stuff on these cloud services, which is an abstraction on top of everything. The OS and everything will maintain the OS for you, will patch it, and you will have at least two instances of your thing running, your application running, with a load balancer in front of it in case it has a public endpoint. And we'll just make sure that everything runs smoothly. When we need to apply a patch, we'll take one of your guys off circulation, apply the patch, and put them up again, and then we'll do the same with the other one. So we'll roll the updates over your applications running live, and chances are you and your users will not ever notice a thing. That's a cloud service. Now, they are extremely powerful in a sense that you can run on when you start these up. You have an automation step where you can run startup stuff, and you can run with elevated privileges, and you get a command prompt, and you can call into a PowerShell script. And you guys probably know, if you have elevated privileges and a PowerShell command prompt, you can do anything, right? You can write to the registry, install stuff, and just go crazy, just go nuts. Cool? The website is, I venture to say, just a website. And actually, this is kind of, it's not current, because you can actually run Java on the websites as well these days. And that's really cool, too. I'll show you. I love how that says limited. That's so great when you're doing demos. I have other accounts to switch to if something fails. So inside of here, if I wanted to, I could go and configure this one to use Java. So I can go Java, Tomcat, some version, Jetty, some version. Other stuff will appear there soon. But you could run PHP, you could run Java, whatever you want on your websites and on your subscription there. Limited. Might actually be that I've stressed this too far, but again, I have many other accounts. My biggest problem right now when I deploy stuff, when I do file new demos and things, I was doing demos before, I was prepping the demos before this session. I was like, oh, where did I deploy this? I didn't know which account I deployed it to. Yeah, that's my biggest problem these days. Such a heavy problem to have. All right. Let's talk about beliefs for a moment, because it's important. I've told you now that there is three ways you can put your applications on the cloud. You can do it with an IaaS system where you deploy a virtual machine. You could do the platform as a service version where you could do either a cloud service or a website. Those are basically IaaS or PaaS. So Microsoft believes that PaaS provides the best foundation for creating, running, and managing custom applications. They don't say that it provides an okay foundation. It's the best one, okay? What does that mean? That they don't care about IaaS? Of course they do. Of course they care about IaaS. But if you can move your applications in a direction where you abstract away from the fact that your code is running on a virtual machine with an operating system that needs to be maintained and everything, all of that stuff is just gone from your worldview forever. You focus on only one thing: your business, your application, your data. That stuff that matters to you. That sounds like three things, but it's actually one thing, right? That's what you focus on. If you can move in that direction, well, that's great. Not everything runs, you know, the best in this setup. Some things just need to run on a virtual machine, and I get that. But this is very powerful if you can come to this point. So soon, the rest of this talk will be only demos. This is an old slide from when they came out with many different publishing methods to Azure, many different integrations to different source control and stuff like that. Pretty soon they added some more CodePlex and Bitbucket and stuff, and I went along and added my own custom version there in the corner. Now today it looks like this. There's a bunch of different ways that you could publish your applications to Azure. You could use Visual Studio, publish direct. You could put it in Dropbox. You can put it in Dropbox. There's actually FTP as well as an option, but you can actually sync a Dropbox folder. And that's kind of cute. I'm not going to demo that, but it is kind of funny that you can do it. If you have a website that a designer should be designing on, you can sync it up in Dropbox, and he can design away in Dropbox, and you can just hit refresh, and the site will go live on Azure from the Dropbox. It's pretty silly, but it's a handy tool. But, you know, the usual ones, Visual Studio Online and GitHub, and those ones are the more common ones. And, of course, my little custom version in the corner in there. Yes, sir? Can you also add an on-premise TFS server? That is correct, you can. It's not, like, out of the box and everything. But if you have your own TFS server, then continue, by all means, to use that. You don't have to throw it away or anything. But what you need to do is set it up with scripts so that it runs. There's actually one of my demos. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, sir, for the, yeah, good. That's a good lead into the last demo there. That's actually not so much a demo as it is a conversation, because I don't have access to any TFS servers anymore. I only use the online stuff. I might for my customer or so on and so forth, but I don't have any servers of my own. But if I did, I would create a Visual Studio Online account and create a new project in there to get the build templates. I would get those build templates and I would copy them into my TFS server and configure them to do the same kind of thing. And I'm sure, you know, there's a way to set it up. If there's a will, there's a way. And you can definitely do it. And that's basically, I mean, like Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. Right? So these demos, I can do any of these demos, whichever one you like. And it's up to you guys, I think. I mean, you should decide. This is your session. It's not mine. We have 40 minutes. We can stay in here for 40 minutes, and I can do demos, and we can talk about these things. And you can ask all the questions you like. So which demo is closest to your heart? Are you Visual Studio Online people? You use TF Team Foundation Server? Nodding heads. Yes, nodding heads. Should we start there? With the things which is close to home, that we where we feel safe? Good. Let's do that. Let's start there. So, in my code here, I have some folders. And should we do a website or a cloud service? Website is easier, I think. Cloud service. Good. Great. Yes. Yes, that's right. Just do it, man. So we'll do a cloud service. So I have here a cloud service project, which I have already created. It's basically it's file new, and I stripped out everything else in there so that it's just a few files in there, so just, you know, easy to commit, and it doesn't take much time to build it there, everything like that. And I also have a local folder here for my cloud service. So what I want to do first is I want to go over to Visual Studio Online, create myself a new Tech Days Netherlands demo can be deleted. No. Demo, that's what we're going to call it. This can be deleted. That's just a note for myself because do you know how many of these I have? Yeah. I'm going to create myself a brand new team project, Tech Days Netherlands demo. And I chose Visual Studio Scrum 2013.2 as my project template. And I will have everything in there. I can have a team project. I can have work items and, you know, what have you. But I like to do it from scratch when I do the demos. You can see that there is no magic. I can navigate to this project. And it's right there. Okay? Let's crack open a new instance of Visual Studio and try to connect to our new team project. And the team project is there. I'll go to source control and see that we have the Tech Days Netherlands demo there. It's not mapped to a local path, but let's do. That's the path, actually, this one. Let's do that. Whenever I do this, I get one folder wrong. Do you usually get that as well? Always. I don't even know how to do it. Do you want to get that code now? Yes. See what happens. Yes, it seems like I got it right. Amazing. That never happens. Buy a lottery ticket. So I'm going to take my demo site here, and I'm going to pop it in there. So this is your code, right? This is a demo version. It's a cloud service, right? And I think we can actually go ahead and open it. How should I? I'll do it like this. Open. Yeah, there we go. Cloud service. So there's our code. Soon. In a Microsoft minute. Any questions? Yes, question over there.
Why
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the whole thing. No, it's not the latest version yet, no. So that's right. The question is, when I do a get, I connect to my project, and then I do a get, and then I put my code in there, and then I double-click my solution, and it's not in Team Foundation Server yet. Is that your statement? Yes, I set the local path in Visual Studio, and that maps Visual Studio Online project to my local disk. And then I get the stuff that I had in there, and the default is some build templates. It's just that's all I have in there now. I don't have any source code in there yet. I'm going to add it now. So I copy it in my website, and then I open it up, and I can go and do add solution to source control. Now Visual Studio knows that this is a Team Foundation server. It doesn't know Visual Studio Online. It knows that this is a source control folder already, so it goes and maps everything up and shows us nice little plus signs there saying that these files are new in source control. You need to check them in and so forth. Okay? Yeah. No, they're not mapped to a local path until I add them. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not following you. I'm sorry. Can we talk about this afterwards? I'm sorry. So we don't keep people guessing here. Anyway, back to the demo. I have added my code to my local checkout repository here, and now I need to check it into the online world here. And we're not going to do that just yet because we need to go over here and create ourselves. I don't have a cloud service for it, so I'll create myself a new cloud service. Tech Days Netherlands demo. Let's see if that's available. It was created in West Europe. An empty cloud service. There is nothing there yet. And I'm also going to go and say, well, guess what? I want to set up publishing from Visual Studio Online. Authorize. It's just a one-time thing. Choose a repository to deploy. Was it Tech Days Netherlands demo? Yep. Linking the team project. So I'm now linking a cloud service to a Visual Studio Online repository. And it says that Visual Studio Online will build your project and deploy it to Azure on your next check-in. Okay. So let's do that. Let's do our next check-in. Actually, maybe I should just first show you that this is a cloud project. Just show you what I have. A cloud project with one role, one web role, and a unit test project down there. That's the code that we have for this. And I can run this, of course, on my local box here, F5, and run in the emulator as usual. And that will just run it on my local box. And I'm going to check it in. Testing. And I'm now checking in 109 files to my brand new team project, linked and synced and everything with my cloud service in Azure. And this will again, of course, kick off a build. And it's right there. And this will then take my code and build it, and it'll assume that I mean to deploy the one cloud service that I have in this source code, because there's only one. And actually, I think if there's multiple, it might choose the first one or something like that, but you know, keep them small, just one project per solution, and just make it simple like that. You can choose a branch if you like. You have trees and things in your repository as usual, and change your build scripts to map to a certain path and stuff like that. But usually, the default setup is probably just fine. Now, this takes a while to run. So we're not going to stand around and watch it, because the reason it takes a while to run is that once it's built everything on the build server and run and done everything, it's ready to go, and you can just deploy it to Azure. And the deploy step of a cloud service still doesn't take 20 minutes anymore, but it still takes about 5, 6, 7 minutes something. And we're not going to stand around and watch that. But I showed you at least a setup from A to Z, how you do it for a cloud service. Any questions? If I can show you the build scripts. Yeah, I can show you the build scripts. Where do I have them? Who moved my cheese? Source control. These ones, you mean? Yeah. So there's one for Azure Continuous Deployment. There's a default template there. And so on and so forth. I'm not very good with what all of those things mean. And sure, I mean, I can open up one for you so we can look at it, but I'm not sure what that it's going to show us a whole lot. But they are there, and they are the scripts that you use, and you can change them to match whatever you like. I'm not sure what happens there. Okay, cool. So we got some nice views here of things that happens. And update build number and sequence of deployment and stuff. Everything is in there. Is that what you wanted to see? Cool. Anything else? So we might come back and check on this guy later, but as I said, it takes a little while for him to run. So we'll just move ahead. Actually, I think it might be, yeah, so I have my cloud service here, and there's one thing worth mentioning. You know that for a cloud service, you have a production slot and a staging slot. They're similar, but you can use the staging slot to stage a new version, and just use this swap symbol down here to swap your production and staging environments. And when you do this, continuous integration thing, the default behavior for a cloud service is to deploy it to the staging slot. You can change that to production if you wanna, but I would do it for websites, but I wouldn't do it probably for cloud services, because it takes a long time for them to deploy, and if there's a problem and so forth, I would let it go to staging, and I can browse to staging, and I can look at staging, and be satisfied with the fact that it seems like it's correct, and then I'll just swap staging into production. So it's going to spin here for a while until, everything is provisioned and everything is deployed and everything and so forth, right? But it's going to work in the end. Actually, I don't know that it works, but we'll see. So from my perspective, that's that demo. Which demo do you want to see now? We're not going to be able to finish all of this, and, if we don't do your favorite one and you still want to hang around afterwards, we can do that. But we have a half hour less than a half hour left, and we can just continue to show other good stuff. What do you want to see? Configuration management. Ooh, that is a good one. It's actually linked to another demo. And so it's sort of a trap there to move you to the demo that I really want to show you. So I'll do that. So not only Microsoft demo, the no Microsoft demo, my custom demo. What's that? I'll show you configuration management as a result of that. So the website that I have up here, it's called, I have a one here called Some Other Demo. All right? And configuration management is a part of that. I can go in and hit it and say configuration management. Let's see what we have. I have app settings here. I can change I can change a setting, and these app settings and connection strings, that's what I mean by configuration management in this scenario, these app settings and connection strings will override whatever you have in your web config. Meaning, if you deploy, if your coders, testers, and everybody have test database connection strings, for instance, they can happily use those, and they can happily check that code into source control, and that will get built and published. And yes, it is publishing the development connection string into production, but you can go into the portal and have overrides. So whenever you do configuration get some stuff from configuration, the system will intercept that request and inject this value instead. So I have a website up in Azure called Some Other Demo, which we can now browse to and see it. This site is continuously delivered using some secret method, and the configuration setting we had in there was disclose deployment method. I just remembered that I had actually set it to true. And if I switch this over to true, you will see what happens. I'm going to go and close this first. I'm going to show you from the correct angle. If we go into some other demo. Of course. This is in GitHub. I forgot. So I need to do some other demo. I need to clone git init this, and I need to do a git clone of something. Some other demo. I have that in Azure. I'm gonna get it down. I'm gonna clone this thing. And again, this always happens when I do this. I should have been one folder further up, right? So I'm just gonna do that, remove that, and do this. So now it's good. Right. Now I've gotten the code down from GitHub, from my repository, and I'm gonna open up some other demo. And some other demo. Spinning donut. Is configured to have an app setting called disclose deployment method. And as you can see, it's set to false. And this is the one that I have deployed in Azure. It's set to false, and that's what I go into production with. And if I open up an FTP port and connect to the folder, and I go down into the folder on Azure, open up the web config, it would say false. But now, in the portal, when I say true and save, that will override. And once it's done, I can refresh, and voila. Yes, sir. No, I don't have to change that every time I do a new deployment. It's set like that in the portal always, and it will stay that way. My overrides in the portal will remain static. So you can have your production connection string to the database in the portal, it's not in TFS source control or anything like that. It's in the portal. It's in Azure. Connected to your site in Azure. Which services?
Azure
The worker roles, yeah. You can override stuff. Well, I don't know, but you can certainly do it here with the websites. But yes, the overrides, that's important stuff. The continuous delivery option that I have, if you want to see it, is using Team City. So I have set up Team City. It certainly is not out of the box. It's a very, very, very long blog post with all of these very many steps that you have to go through to set it up. And I've done screenshots and everything of that. So I have a virtual machine running in Azure here. My virtual machine called Magnus CD, Magnus Continuous Delivery, which I can browse to. And it's Team City running in Azure. And it's set up so that if I make changes to the code that I now pull down on my local box, it's going to kick off a build here and deploy it. So let's just do it, because now I've said that now I've talked about it. Now we actually have to actually do it, right? This site is continuously delivered using some secret method and a bang. Let's make that three bangs. Actually, we won't see that, because Team City with a bang, right? That's great. That's a great change. We'll do git add. Okay. Didn't I save it? I should see a change there, shouldn't I? That's funny. I think it's now on some other demo. Git. I just change the file and it doesn't show me a change. That's a bit odd. Anyone? Maybe because I changed folder. I don't know. That's interesting. We might leave that, or not. I can actually go and redo it. So it's that fast. Git init dot. It's now a Git repository. I'll go back to my copy there, and we'll do a git clone that. I'll try again. I don't know what happened. And now it's the same problem with the folders, but I'll ignore that problem and I'll go into some other demo, and there's my code. And I'll go into it, open up a studio again. Now, this setup that I did, what it does is I wanted to do exactly the same that Microsoft does. And the reason for it is that I didn't want to compromise when using another method. I wanted to look and do precisely what Microsoft does out of the box when you just say, connect this up and then we're done and it's all good. I wanted to have the same benefits. Let's see, Team City, bang, 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 save. Let's see, good, now we have a change. Git add dot, oh, git add, did I, yeah. Git commit message testing in The Hague. All right. So now let's see what I have. I have a git remote minus V. It's called origin, right? Yeah. So I can do a git push origin master to push my change from my local box up into GitHub, into my GitHub repository. And when I do, this thing will monitor my GitHub repository. And soon, real soon, now it's pending. Now we have a build kicking off in Team City. Anybody using Team City? Yeah, several guys using Team City. So Team City is now picking up my build, doing a full build of this thing, running my unit tests, and if everything is okay, I'm just going to go ahead and deploy it. All right? So we're going to watch this thing go through. And if I do the same with Visual Studio Online and a website, I haven't showed you that. I showed you cloud service and now this one. And we talked about configuration management. And if I can show you the same with Visual Studio Online using either Git or the regular Visual Studio source control. All right, so it's now deployed into Azure. And let's see if we've got some bangs. We do have some bangs. So a lot of bang for the buck there using Team City. Now, when I said I didn't want to compromise, this is what I meant. Some other demo has deployments that I can click into. And you can see that I have deployment history there. The active deployment is the one called testing in The Hague, the one that I just did. Now, if that was wrong, there wasn't supposed to be lots of bangs in the website. It's absolutely wrong. I get a call from my boss, and he's pissed off. I can go and back in history, and I say, redeploy the old version. Thank you very much. And it's done. Refresh. Bangs are gone. Yeah, exactly. Now I see some nodding heads. People are smiling. Yes, this is really cool. This is freaking awesome. This excites me every time. So I have several folders of versions. I think it's about five versions or something like that, sitting up there of my site so that I can just take a step back. And it's so quick and it's so cool to watch. We're going to do it one more time just because it's that cool and I like bangs. So let's do it. Deploying. What happens when I do this switch, you think? Anybody venture a guess? How is this so fast? And how is this in live production with no downtime for any of our users, right? What's happening? Staging? No, this has nothing to do with staging. Well, yeah, but it's actually simpler than diffing some versions and stuff. It's very easy. There's an IIS hosted on a virtual machine somewhere which has a virtual directory path pointing to a folder. And the only thing that we do when we change versions is that we say, don't point to that folder, point to that folder. That's all we do. We just swap the folders are there on the box, and we just swap to another one. And it's that fast. It's in seconds, and it's up while we do it. The site is up while we do it. Yes, sir. Yeah. That is a great question. The question is there something linked here with versions, maybe for adding some tables to the database and stuff like that? And the answer, of course, is no. No, there isn't. So if you need a new version of your site going out with database schema changes and stuff like that, well, that's going to be difficult always. That's like the most difficult thing to take into live production without your customers or users noticing it. And yes, if you roll forward to a version which has an incompatible database schema with a previous version, you better make sure that it's right. And it's difficult to do while the site is up and users are using the site. It's difficult always, and it's always been, and it's always going to be, I believe, because breaking schema changes, it's not fun. So no, this integration doesn't have anything to do with your database at all. But you can make it run what's that called, with the database upgrades, migrations. Yes, you can make migrations and stuff run. It's not doing anything such fancy here. But if you run migrations and step back in history and, oh, well, I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. So yes, be careful with your database schema updates, but you should always be careful with those. Good question. And it is an obvious one. It kind of points you in the eye there. Well, you can do fast development with this anyway. And to have your dev test environments up like this. And once you're satisfied that this is the way we should go with three bangs, it's the correct one, you can have a separate build script to deploy to your production environment. Great question. Great questions all around. So we've actually covered a lot of ground here today. Let's go back and visit our old friend and see if he's running. I don't know, actually. I think the Tech Days Netherlands demo cloud service seems to be running. It's in the running state here. We can go into it, and it's got deployments as well. Right in here. It's all good. And the deployments, let me think. It's deployed to staging. That means that we can go to it and browse to this staging URL here and see it. Should be working. Did before. So now it's running in staging. Tech Days, continuous delivery rocks. And please do a... Please tweet Tech Days Netherlands and at NoUpMan, that's me. Yes, so beautiful. Okay? And then, of course, the last step for those of you who do not usually work with cloud services is that this URL is not the one we wanted. We wanted the public URL so we can swap staging with production and go into live production with our staged nice site. Yes? You did see deployments on cloud services. It doesn't go as fast. It certainly does not go so fast. And the version history thingy doesn't work the same. No. Actually, it might be transitioning now. Oh, I don't have anything in my staging environment. Where did it go? Well, it went over there. So it's now in production. And now if we hit it, I can go dip. And so now it's on Tech Days Netherlands demo cloud app.net, and you can browse to it. So no, the version history stuff there, it's not the same. Deployments. You cannot really jump back and forth in history on those. But you can see what you have there, and you can view the logs of things and see. Actually, it's funny. I don't see the comment here, my check-in comment. It's there for Git. You saw the check-in comments that I made, but I don't see it here. Anyway, it's still, you can see what you have deployed anyway, because deployments in cloud services take a lot longer. But it's cool that you can just go and drill into the log, and when you click on that, you actually get straight into Visual Studio Online. You can see the log of your build and everything that happened when you did it. So this deployment thing here took a while. Let's see how many minutes. Actually took, that took about 9 minutes. So long time. All right, that's this demo. We have a few more minutes to kill, ladies and gentlemen. I can certainly do one more demo. Let me see, do I have anything else to show you guys? All of IT will be cloud. All of it will be cloud. And that, I guess, is important. And then we're done. So I can show you another demo. You can ask me more questions. This is all up to you. This is your session again, not mine. Any more questions? Yes, question in the back.
Is there a way to migrate
an on-premise TFS 2013 to Visual Studio Online? The answer is, I'm sure there is. I have never done it, and I think you should do it. But I've seen that there. Last time I checked, there was no like very obvious path to do it and migrate it. The biggest issue was that you lost your version history. You just got everything exported and you got everything imported, and that moment in time was you sort of destroyed the version history timestamps and things like that. I'm sure, and I can't speak for Microsoft, but I really hope that they give us a really good migration path so you can just basically point and click and get everything up there with the same version history stuff in source control and everything. But the answer, the short answer is no, no, no obvious easy one. And if you know anybody is watching this recording or anything and want to tell me that there is now, they should. So no easy way to do it. But you're kind of curious to go there now, right? Well, start with a new project and go from there. You want to be done the new project. Yeah, I agree. The migration stuff is, you need to talk to a TFS expert for that. I'm a dev expert. Thank you. Any other questions? Another question, yes. Oh, in the portal, you mean that you can open a project in Visual Studio. You can click from inside of the portal. Yeah, and it says 10 and 12, right? But it doesn't say 13 yet. Yeah, I'm sure that's just a temporary omission, and I'm sure that they will fix that. I love the fact that you can actually do it. I don't do it very often, but it's kind of cool that you can. If we go back to, let's do that one. There's the, where is it? I think it's there, right? No, it's not there. It's in the dashboard. Oh, I don't even recall where it is now. What? Yeah, just try every tab from left to right. That's usually the way to find stuff. Actually, so the thing is that they keep moving stuff around. They're moving my cheese all the time in the portal, and it is you find it after a while. And I'm happy that the Azure portal and the Azure features is moving quite quickly, because we get new nice stuff in there, you know, almost weekly, and things are moving around. Let's see. Actually, isn't it there? Let me see. Yes, it's there. Visual Studio. There it is. There it is. It's down there now. Visual Studio. So you can open in Visual Studio from the cloud. And say, I want to open this up, please. And yeah, it should work. Maybe it doesn't. It's actually one more fun thing that you can do, and it really doesn't have anything to do with continuous deployment, but it's really fun to show. Now I have a lot of Visual Studios open. Maybe I should go and open. We have 2 more minutes before they kick me off stage. And I'm going to code my first sample that I showed you. Which should still be linked up with Azure and stuff. So what I can do now, hope I get this right. It'd be great to end with that. So if I have my file here opened, I can right click on it and I can't find it. Well, somewhere in here, there's an option to compare with the one on Azure, but that's you know, that's not got to do anything to do with continuous delivery. But what you can do with and that's using publish the publishing from Visual Studio to compare your local version with the version that you have on your site in Azure, so you can see the diff between your file, which is live, and the one you have local. And that's also kind of cool. This is all geared up, I believe, to enable you to do very quick and very, you know, awesome development with Azure. For you guys to basically be rock stars of your office and keep the boss out and keep the testers out and have this nice flowing continuous experience, setting everything up with continuous deployment. And, you know, you should all just go and do it. And if you don't, you know, I've told you and showed you and motivated you. And if you still don't do it, there's nothing else I can do except to say thank you so much for listening today. This is the end of my session. Thanks.